good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's good for me to be able to say that, hey, I'm well enough to be here. I'm not sure, but I think other than when I had my heart surgery back in 2004, I have never been sick enough or too sick to not be able to come to church until last week. That's a very strange feeling. I don't like it. Those of you that have spent some time very, very sick can certainly identify and empathize with that. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 2. And we want to begin looking in verse 5 at the subject that Brother Paul writes about here. And our subject this morning from these portions of the Word of God is simply the term occupations. I think everybody knows what occupations are. They're like careers or something that you do for a living. And I think that we're going to be able to see this morning from reading this portion of the Word of God that there are two occupations on earth that have dealings with the spiritual world. One is an unspiritual occupation, and one is a spiritual occupation. God makes the distinction in His Word, and He simply uses descriptions of how human beings behave to define those occupations. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. I'm going to ask you to do something strange with this verse this morning, and that is pick up only the last word in that verse and start there reading with me in verse 5, the last word of the verse, and then right on to verse 6 and on. God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Do you see why I ask you to look at just the last word and then pick it up with verse 6? Because that's what verse 6, the subject matter of verse 6 is about. It's about God. God rendering. God doing something. God will render to every man according to his deeds. Folks, to begin this message this morning, I'd like for all of us to realize something together. And we can only pray and trust that mankind as a species, as a creation of God, would also come to think of this in the same manner. And that is this, that based on what we've just read here, humanity should face the fact that God is going to render to every human being according to their works. I don't know that there's any plainer statement in the Bible than this one to clarify that point. Now this should, I believe, should give pause to every member of the human race to give some thought to what their deeds are and what they're all about. God shall render to every man according to his deeds. And so we should take some time to think solemnly about the fact that when it comes down to the time that God will call all of his creatures before him to give account, that he will be looking at something called deeds here. And it will be the deeds of humanity as individuals, individual members of humanity. It will be the deeds that you and I have done that will make the difference with God's judgment. Now I want to spend just a moment explaining the word deeds here, because it's important for us as listeners and students of the Bible to understand what this word deeds is all about. The Greek word that was chosen here by the Holy Spirit, and yes, the Holy Spirit chose this word at the pen of Paul. I believe that Holy Spirit Scripture is inspired of God, that the Holy Spirit led men to write these things, and the Bible makes that clear, that it is so. And so the Holy Spirit chose the word ergon out of the Greek for this particular word that we read in the English here as days. And this word ergon literally means to toil or labor in an occupation. So when you look at this word in its context here in verse 6, God's going to render to every man according as how they toiled or labored in an occupation. Now, as we think about that, I don't think there should be any confusion about what deeds means here. And I want us to remember that this verse is describing how a man might be pursuing an occupation. This is about not an isolated act that people do, but it's about a career. It's about laboring in something chosen as an occupation or a career. And there shouldn't be any confusion among humanity about how they, as human creatures, may need to assess their deeds, their human occupation. God has spoken to man and outlined a standard for measuring deeds, occupations, or actions that are done pursuing an occupation. God has drawn up a standard, and that standard, listen folks, this is important. That standard is laid out in the Word of God. Men might diss this Word of God all day long. But let me tell you something about this Word of God. In the day that God shall try every man and the works of every man, it will be this Word that God uses as the plumb line to tell human creatures what kind of occupation they were pursuing in their lives on earth. That's what He's going to do. Now, a lot of folks, as I said, will discount the Bible. They'll discount the Word of God. But there shouldn't be any confusion about how we may evaluate what we're pursuing as an occupation. God has spoken to man. He's outlined a standard for measuring deeds, and that standard is the Word of God. Let me reiterate one more time. Now, a lot of job openings for specialized occupations, especially in wildlife damage management, come across my email desk every week as those at headquarters send out job opening notices for wildlife services people to look at. And there are all kinds of them. There's always 3 or 4, 5 or 6, 7 or 8, sometimes 9 or 10 job advertisements every week that come through my email. Of course, since I'm not looking for a job, I pretty quickly delete them. But the truth is, when I look at some of those job advertisements, I always notice that in each and every one of those that come across my desk, we find that there is a pay grade stated, what the pay grade is going to be. That means how much are you going to get for this job if you apply for it and get the job. There's a job title, that is, what is this job called? And there's a location where the hiring is going to be done, in South Carolina, in Massachusetts, in Georgia, or wherever. It always states where the job is going to be done in. And there's always a job description. And in that job description, there are details about what the employee is going to be doing. He'll be doing this, he'll be doing that. He'll be taking care of this or taking that, care of that. He'll be writing this or writing that. So there's a job description that details what people are going to be doing if they get this job. You can read what that person will be doing in the job description. And in the same way that those job descriptions in those job advertisements that come across my desk do, in the same way they advertise description, we find that God describes in detail what people will be doing in the occupation that they pursue. And to be honest with you, our text is a brief summary of that job description. And I hope we can look at it this morning and see that it is so and get something out of it for ourselves to take home. Now let's take that standard of God that I've been talking about and let's examine the two contrasting types of occupations. I said that there were two that the Bible clarifies, and there are. There are two types of occupations, and I'm going to try to contrast those two types that are described by the apostle in these verses. First, the first description we want to look at is in verse 7. Look at what he says. Let's read. Let's connect again the verses. God who will render to every man according to his deeds, or what he's doing in his occupation. To them, here's the first description of the first occupation. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You might think, how did the preacher get a job description out of that? Well, let's just break this thing apart and see that there is, in fact, a job description. To them who by patient continuance, there's the first hint, in well-doing, there's the second hint, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So that those who are working with this within this occupation are doing something that's called continuing in well-doing. And those who are working in this particular occupation are looking for glory and honor and immortality in a certain place. That certain place is called eternal life. Now, let me first, before we go any further with this verse, bring everybody's attention to the fact that the word, go up to that verse again and read it, and notice that it says, them who by patient continuance in well-doing. Let me point out to you that well in this verse is the same word used by Jesus in Matthew 19 and verse 17 to instruct that man there in that account about what is and is not good. Run with me right quickly to the book of Matthew, and I want you to notice this in Matthew 19 and verse 17. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus is answering his question about when he comes to him and says, good master, what must I do? So and so. And Jesus answers this question this way. He said to him, why, in verse 17, why callest thou me good? That word right there is the same that in our text is the word well. Exactly the same word. And it is only ascribed to God, to something belonging to God, to something connected directly with God. Remember that when you go back to the verse. There's none good but one, that is God, Jesus says. And then he goes on to give him some instructions. And so, back to our verse. Now folks, follow me here. I'm not wanting to make this complex. I'm not wanting to make it complicated. If you'll follow me, you'll discover where we're going with this thing of occupations. And so in our text, he says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek something. That's their occupation. They in patient continuance in that which belongs to God, the good, in good doing, if you will. And by the way, the word doing in this verse, folks, is the same word ergon that I pointed you to in verse 6 that means to labor in an occupation. So may I dare to say that Brother Paul, writing with the Spirit, is saying to them who by patient continuance in doing God's stuff in their occupation, seek something. That's what he's saying. Now, I don't want to muddy the waters, but I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit has a particular reason for selecting particular words to give a particular message for the people of God. And in this verse, our Lord, by the word use of words, is saying, this group of folks are pursuing an occupation that is that of doing the stuff of God. Amen. That's what he's saying. And so, what is their occupation? What is the activity that is they are engaged in their occupation? They're doing the stuff of God in their occupation. Now, I need to settle this in our minds so that we can really understand this verse to be telling us that what the people described in this verse, what they're really doing is the stuff of God as they pursue their unique occupation. They're doing the stuff of God. So what we see here is an explanation, I say again, that the Holy Spirit is giving us, that those described in the verse are people who are laboring in the occupation of doing God's stuff. I know I'm repeating and repeating, but I want to emphasize that. You know, psychologists tell us that if you're going to learn, get something settled in your brain and branded there, you need at least 6 repetitions of it as a human being in order for it to begin to be stamped into your brain. So excuse me if I repeat and repeat, but this is a critical lesson that the people of God need to learn. That here we are told that this particular people named here are pursuing an occupation of doing God's stuff. Now let's go on and describe what that stuff is, and that's found in this verse also. First of all, God's stuff is patient continuance in doing that stuff. Patient continuance in doing that stuff. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Do you remember how Jesus had some seed sown in several different places in that parable? Do you remember how that some of it fell on stony ground, sprang up, boom, and grew like crazy, and then, boom, wilted, ceased at this, died, went away. And when he gets down to telling the account about being the seed that's sown on good ground, he says, that seed grew, it matured, and it brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But it was the only one that did in that parable. When you look at that parable, I believe it's easy enough to see that there may be a lot of human beings in the world that are engaged in religion. Amen. They're doing some stuff that looks like they're doing some stuff, the stuff of God. But what does the Bible tell us about the occupation that is really the occupation that people are engaged in where they're doing God's stuff? It is that particular pursuit that continues by and through patience, or as it's put here, patient continuance. Do all of you that are saved, that believe that you're saved and know that you've trusted Christ, that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, that you've repented of your sins, that you believed in Him, that you cast all of your faith upon Christ to save you, and you're now resting as one of the children of the kingdom, do all of you know how you can prove to yourself that you are saved? Somebody says, well, you can't, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you can't see the proof that you're saved. Yes, you can. You can know the proof that you're saved. But you got to wait. You believe, and that faith is what shores you up. That the steadfast confidence in the power of God to keep you in that saved state is what shores you up. But you want to know how you can know that you are saved? And you can know this from day to day. You know it by keeping on keeping on.
Amen.
When you get to the place where you're not keeping on, I dare you to tell me that you have full assurance that you're saved, because you don't. But as long as you're walking in the light, as He is in the light, and you know you're attempting to walk in the light, you know you're attempting to do the will of God, you know that you're attempting to cleave unto God, you have an assurance in the patient continuance in God's stuff. That's what you know, and that's what you can know. And so, patient continuance in doing the stuff of God is the first activity that we see here described as part of this occupation described for this first person, first kind of person. Then, the second thing that we see in this verse that is part of the activity of this occupation in which people are doing God's stuff is they're seeking glory and honor and immortality in doing the stuff of God. They're not looking to get it. They're seeking the fruit of it. That's what they're doing. And so those that have salvation, those that are patiently continuing in doing the stuff of God, they're looking for something. They're looking for glory, honor, and immortality, because God's promised it to them.
Amen.
And they're moving along the road of their occupation, of their career. They're looking for that. That's another earmark of those who follow this occupation. Now, they are, and here's the catch. The third identifier is that they are seeking this glory, this honor, and this immortality in eternal life. Read the verse and see if that isn't exactly what it says. You may have been like me and misread this verse in time past, but read it correctly. And you see that this thing of rewarding according to deeds is going to fall out one way for this group who pursued this occupation. And he's about to tell us what that is. I won't go there yet. But them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, will get one kind of judgment for their deeds. That's what it's telling us, and we'll get to that, as I said, in a minute. But notice that they're seeking the glory, the honor, and the immortality in eternal life, and that's the clincher. You might say, how come? Well, because when you start seeking glory, honor, and such things as that in eternal life, it will lead to only one place. Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
He is the eternal life. Everything about this word, phrase, eternal life here, points straight to the Christ of God.
Amen.
And so, what does it say here? They are seeking glory, honor, and immortality in Jesus Christ and nowhere else.
That's right.
And that's important. That is critically important. Because we have a mass of religious humans today that seek glory and honor and immortality in good works. Like those Pharisees that you mentioned this morning, Brother James, in the Sunday school. They had a plan. They had drawn up every jot and tittle of the way to have the inheritance of God. And it had to do with the law. Keeping the law, every jot and tittle of it. And Jesus says, no, that's not right. And that's why they wanted to kill that son who came to collect at the vineyard, because they said, wait a minute, he's going to upset the whole apple cart. We got the way. He's a liar. Let's kill him and the inheritance will be ours. That is to say, we know how to get to God. We know how to have the inheritance, the approval of God, and all the blessings of God. And it's this way here, law and so forth, keeping the commandments and walking the chalk and all of that. And Jesus said, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they said, come on, let's kill him. Because he's turned the apple cart over. Well, folks, we've got a mass of people today that are, as you said, Brother James, are doing exactly the same thing. They're saying, oh, wait. I know the gospel preaches this and teaches this, but hey, you got to throw in works here in order to have the inheritance. You got to work this and work that and work the other. But those who are involved in the occupation of doing God's stuff aren't looking to works. Not baptism, not good works, not charity, none of that. They're looking to Jesus Christ as the answer, as the eternal life.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you something. I can say this flat-footed here today, regardless of how long it is before Jesus comes, regardless of how long it is for the great white throne judgment, I can say this flat-footed today. Not one human being will appear before God accepted and justified unless they have come there through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That simple. You can have your Buddha. You can have your Hinduism. You can have your Allah. You can have them all. You can try them all. You can follow them all. But I'll tell you where they're going. They will fall into the second class of people we're going to look at in a few minutes. They certainly do not fall in this first class. They seek for glory, honor, and immortality in eternal life. And that eternal life is found only in one place. So a person pursuing the occupation of doing the stuff of God will be attached to Jesus Christ. That's it in a nutshell. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 29, this is the work of God. This is the work of God.
Amen.
Is this the same thing that we were just talking about when the Bible and our text uses the word ergon? Yes, it is. Same word here in the book of John. This is the ergon of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Do you notice how the work, this well-doing, this ergon, this doing, in verse 7, is synonymous with what Jesus says is the work of God. Not the work for God, folks. This is the work of God. And that's the distinct difference between those who are following this occupation that we're looking at in verse 7 and those who follow the other occupation, as I said, we're going to look at in a few minutes. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. And by the way, that believe that Jesus is talking about is not like, oh yeah, I've said the Romans Road prayer. I've said I believe in Christ. I've made the profession with my mouth. So now I'm done. No, this belief is a progressive, that is an ongoing, perpetual thing that is in the heart and soul of the believer, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. So pursuing the occupation of doing God's stuff begins with believing on Him whom God hath sent. Begins right there. And by the way, it continues in that. Now, taking that standard again as a guide, we can say that if a man works at an occupation and the tools that he uses in that occupation are tools that God has said thou shalt not use, then such a man is toiling in occupation that fits with the second kind of person described in verse 8. Let's look at verse 8 and see that description. But under them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, here's what's going to happen to them. I'll stop there because the next thing that he's declaring is what judgment's going to fall upon them. I want you to focus on the description of the other occupation. Them that are contentious, that do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. That is the description of the next occupational group. They are doing things, using tools, conducting activity that is contrary to the will and the purpose of God. It is contrary to the other occupation. Now, to emphasize what this thing of contention, not obeying the truth, obeying unrighteousness means, I want us to turn for just a moment to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's clarify what really we're talking about when we're talking about an occupation that produces those kinds of activities using the kind of tools that are pointed to here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. All of us are familiar with this. Now the works of the flesh, that's what it's talking about, isn't it? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. That means intoxication, by the way, in our modern language, folks. Revelings and such like. There are the activities of those who pursue, toil in an occupation that obeys unrighteousness. They are toiling in an occupation that obeys unrighteousness. They're toiling in an occupation that refuses to obey the truth. What does the truth command? That all men everywhere repent. Isn't that what the truth demands? That's part of the gospel message. And so those that don't obey the truth can be obviously spotted by the fact that they have not repented of their evil deeds. And the Bible goes on and talks about that too. So we find that these are the activities using the tools of contention, the tools of unrighteousness, the tools of disobedience to the truth, they produce these kinds of activities. This second group involved in an occupation that is other than doing God stuff. Now, before I give away the farm, I'm going to give away part of it right now. But lest I give it all away, I'm going to say a little about this at this point. I've just described two occupational types to you. And I think that it doesn't take much stretch of your thinking and mine to realize that these two occupations are antitheses of each other. The one, people are pursuing patiently, continuing in pursuing the stuff of God. And the other, people are acting out according to the flesh, pursuing carnal, temporal, I don't know what you call it, ambitions, goals, objectives, behaviors, to say the least. And so, there's the contrast. Now, I need to stop right here for a minute and remind us all that even though I'm reading about a labor which violates God's standard, I'm not suggesting that keeping the law of God is what will give us eternal life. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the difference between people in the one occupation and people in that other occupation. That's what I'm talking about. It's got nothing to do with, oh, so if I start keeping the law and all of that, doing right, walking the straight and narrow, then I didn't say that. I want to be very clear. We find that I showed plainly in verse 7 that eternal life lay in the stuff of God. And that stuff is all centered around Jesus Christ. The stuff of God is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing at the start, believing in the middle, believing at the end. Continuing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the standard that I'm talking about here does give humanity the knowledge of sin. And that is how God is totally guiltless when men know what the rules are, what the standard is, and yet they pursue their own occupation. God is guiltless, and God has a righteousness in judging those who do that. Amen. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, says Romans 3:20. Now, I want to go on. I want to take us back to the phrase in verse 7 and contrast it to what is described about those who work the works of evil so that in this contrast, I can make a point about the difference in the two occupations and also point out the difference in the end product of the two careers. There's a difference in the two occupations that have already been emphasizing, and there's a difference in the ultimate fate or end product of the two careers. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, this is the description of those who are doing the stuff of God. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life.
Amen.
Now in verse 8 we read, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, this is the description of those who are doing the stuff of evil. But in them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Now that we've got the two descriptions separate, we want to go back to what I said at the first of the message. God is going to render to every man according to his deeds. And when you see what the origin of each of those deeds is, it's easy for you to see, I believe, how it is that God will simply take the ergon, the occupation deeds in our verse. And he will lay the occupation out there, the outcome of the occupation out there. Look here. Here's what you pursued all of your life. And it can just lay out what actions were taken. Were you patiently continuing in God stuff and looking toward the eternal life that is in Jesus Christ for that which is the outcome of your patient continuance in doing the stuff of God? Or were you acting out the flesh, living according to whatever principles drove you as you sought whatever goals you were looking for in pursuing the flesh? You might think, well, maybe people worked hard in religion to do the will of God. Well, if that motive stemmed from anywhere beside the leading of the Spirit of God because of the new birth in Christ Jesus, that in itself is nothing more than disobedience to the will and the doctrine of God. That's all it is, folks. Religion that moves in some other direction besides what God has stated and what Jesus Christ has dictated. Any religion that moves in another direction is simply a religion of disobedience. It doesn't have to be a wild and violent, vicious, ungodly, profane, wicked lifestyle of sensuousness and violence and all kinds of evil. It doesn't have to be that. Some of the most righteous, and I use that sparingly, and I use it in a qualified way, some of the most righteous human beings in history are going to be brought before God, and God's going to say, now let's look at your deeds here. Your occupation. What did you occupy yourself with? They're kind of like the Pharisee that went down to pray. He and that publican were there praying, and the Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I do this and I do that, and I keep this and I keep that. And he begins to name off everything that he does in the way of works. But Jesus says that when he was praying that prayer, he prayed with himself. And that's where the catch is going to be. God's going to say, you serve self. Your religion was vain because you served self. You didn't serve me in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so, it's nothing more than the pursuit of that occupation that I have condemned, saith the Lord. And so, when it comes time to look at the occupations and the outcomes of the occupation, there will be unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. If you look at verses 8 and 9, there comes to them in that last awful hour indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. God is going to judge every human being by his deeds. But to those that through patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality in him who is eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is for them glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. That does it, folks. There's the two types. There's the two judgments. And I trust that the Lord has helped each one of us today to realize that It's going to be one or the other. One or the other. And you know what the wonderful thing about God's forbearance and patience is? Do you realize that as long as a human being has the capacity to hear about such a thing as this from the Word of God, it is not too late to change the tide. It is not too late to change, listen to me, to change occupations. That's why God will say and does say, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Because as long as I can hear, as long as I can think, as long as I have the capacity to understand what God is saying in His Word, and He's certainly saying, He shall judge every man according to his deeds. As long as I have the capacity to be able to hear and understand that, God is still suffering and forbearing, and I have an opportunity to change occupations.